Well, this is Don Pryor, and with me today is David Knutson and Charlie Hawkins. And these folks are with what's called the 40 and 8. For years, growing up in Austin, I've driven past, and many of you have probably driven past, this rail car that's out in front of the American Legion Travis Post over there on Veterans Boulevard, right across from Town Lake near the hike and bike trail. Near a Mopac there, and you've seen this rail car out in front. And little did I know, I've seen this thing hundreds of times, looked over there, never taken the time to actually get out of the car, take a look and see what it was. Little did I know until recently the amazing history behind this rail car and its incredible significance. David and Charlie are with the 40 and 8, and which has to do with this rail car. And thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David and Charlie, tell us what the 40 and 8 is and what the incredible history of this rail car at the American Legion Travis Post.
The 40 and 8 formerly were called La Société des 40 Hommes with 8 Chevaux, which means in French...
Please explain.
The Society of 40 Men and 8 Horses. And my French is probably horrible, but
that's okay.
We do our best on that. And the boxcar that's over at American Legion Post 76.
Right.
It's the easiest way I describe it is behind Runtex on Lake Austin Boulevard and Mopac. Has been there since the 50s. It originally came in 1949 with something called the Gratitude Train. But a little bit about the 40 and 8 Society itself. When we were organized in 1920, and the reason that this came up, because the conditions, the 40 and 8, the boxcar was a 40 and 8 because it would hold 40 men or 8 horses in the boxcar when they would transport troops to the fronts during World War I and even during World War II. And the conditions were pretty bad, so the Society after the war, after World War I, they got together and they started, along with the American Legion was started, they started the organization of the 40 and 8, and they were talking about it because the conditions were so bad, they basically had to laugh.
Why they said it was so bad, many times they had just offloaded 8 horses. The temperature could be over 100 degrees. These old GIs back in World War I, they had all wool uniforms wearing a full pack. It was
so
very
let me just
hot.
Understand, this rail car goes that far back to World War I era.
Actually, the rail cars we have are older than that because they were antiques when they were shipped over. So they're
Is that right?
about 100 years old, at least, most of them.
Anyway, many of these rail cars, they didn't have time to clean out the horse manure. When the horses were offloaded, they just say, get on, we got to get you up the front right now. Well, that horse manure may have been in there for days, and you know there's other things that crawl around horse manure. So the stink and the heat and all wool uniforms, it was so horrible that they said they just had to laugh.
Right. What else are you going to do?
When you got 40 guys and they've got all their gear, all their packs, their weapons, everything they're going to take with them, and they're basically packed in there like sardines. And we've got some pictures of guys getting into the boxcars, and it was pretty cramped. So, you know, it wasn't the best of conditions, but after the war, they got together, and they're like, you know, this is an American spirit, you know, that the guys were able to persevere through this, and now they can sit back and laugh at it. You know, even at the time, it was so bad. What can you do? You just laughed, you know. It's
right.
Like, you know, you just press on and you do what you need to do. So,
yeah. Well, tell us about what these cars were used for and what a great thing to use these cars for after the war. We were helping France and Italy rebuild after the war.
I believe there was a famous radio announcer that kind of got the ball rolling. Do you know more about that, Dave?
Well, in 1947, Drew Pearson, who was a Washington columnist, he spearheaded the campaign to help the French people, French and, you know, basically Europe, but primarily France, after World War II, to get back on their feet. I mean, they were poor, they were ravaged by war, and they started this campaign, and it came through the United States. This was not a government program. This was a grassroots people program started by the people of the United States to help their allies in France.
Yeah.
And Texas, every state participated. There were over 700 boxcars sent over to France to help them, and it was filled with things that they needed, like food, water, bread, milk, grapefruits.
In fact, Dave, I believe Texas was the largest contributor.
No.
I heard from some of the historians that come through here in years past, something like close to 160 boxcars. Texas had to outdo everybody else.
Well, of course, of course.
Well,
I read where over $40 million in relief supplies were contributed. Is that right?
I don't know the grand total. I know there were 700 cars from the United States.
Wow.
I think there was 46 from Texas.
Now, I assume they were shipped over.
They were all shipped over, and the French people, there was a guy named André Picard. He was a French railway worker and a veteran himself, and he was one of the people that received these gifts along with the French people, and he's like, we have to respond, you know, but what can they give?
Sure.
They turn around and decided to give back personal gifts. These boxcars that came to the United States, that was the friendship train that went over to Europe to help them, went over to France. In turn, they sent back what we call the gratitude train, and it was 49 boxcars, one for each state. There were 48 states, and then one for Washington, D.C., and Hawaii, who was coming in to be a state, but wasn't a state yet. So there was 49 boxcars filled with gifts, and what they did was they took the boxcars and ran them through the countryside of France, similar to what they did here in the United States, they ran rail cars through the United States to fill them with needed items for the French, and then they went ahead and filled them with a lot of gifts, personal gifts, things of value, art, dolls, wedding dresses.
Wow.
Just an amazing array of very valuable and very personal gifts. Each of them had a little bit of information with them on what it was, and the boxcars were loaded up with about 52,000 gifts total. So each boxcar had about 1,000 gifts on it.
Wow.
For each state. And then it came in to the United States, and then they distributed that throughout. They had the train run different routes, and they tried to run routes to areas of the country that contributed the most. Paducah, Texas, actually was very...
Paducah. Now, where's Paducah?
Between here and the Panhandle.
Okay.
It's a ways away.
I don't know Paducah.
Paducah, Texas.
This was a French origin then? This is one of the ones that was sent from France.
Right. They chose the 49er boxcar specifically to send back the gifts in because of the 40 men and 8 horses, because of the troops had and all the guys back then were very familiar with 49er boxcars.
More familiar than they wanted to be.
Yeah. There's a placard on the boxcar that has a 40/8 on it.
So okay.
It's recognizable as that. And across it in a diagonal stripe is the gratitude train.
Now, do I understand correctly that because these trains were from France, the rail gauge was different than we have over here, so they had to actually put these on flatbeds to take cross country. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, they had to put them on flatbeds and run them on our rail system because they couldn't put the boxcar itself on there, and then they would drop them off at each state. Ours, the Texas boxcar, is number 11. It came into Fort Worth in March of 1949, and the gifts were shipped to Austin for processing, and then the boxcar went on display at the Fort Worth Children's Museum and was out of Camp Mabry for a short time until they needed space out there. Because of the Korean conflict. So it ended up out at American Legion Post 76. And again, the American Legion in 48, the members are basically dual membership, you know. So the 49ers are usually very active members of American Legion. And we try to support the American Legion because we're American Legion members first.
Right.
So the boxcar got out there, and then all the gifts were distributed. They were accounted for and then distributed throughout the state. And we have a number of gifts that are at the Texas Memorial Museum, but they're in storage most of the time.
Well, now, who were the gifts distributed to exactly?
The people that provided the gifts for the people of France.
Okay.
Like Paducah. if you know, they sent it all around the state, and they had to actually do a committee, set up a committee. They set up a national committee, and then each state had a committee. This was under Governor Buford Jester. And I dug through some of his files down at the archives and learned a few things down there. But they set up a committee to decide what to do with the gifts, and they distributed the gifts out as evenly as possible, you know, to try to make everybody happy. And then they kept some here. Some of them were, you know, given personally to people, I'm sure. A lot of them, they don't know where they are. And a lot of the boxcars throughout the United States, most of them are pretty well maintained.
Are they?
Yeah, there's about a half a dozen that are lost completely. They were broken down and scrapped. Some were damaged by fire. But we've had a couple of guys that have done a lot of work on the boxcars far ahead of me. There's a gentleman named Andy Dolas who wrote a book, and Earl Bennett has written a book also about the boxcar. They've documented, they went around and helped document what's going on in every state.
David and Charlie, what kind of condition is our boxcar in right now? And what's being done right now to maintain that boxcar and its to keep it in good condition?
Well, David and I and people prior to, I'm probably one of the older members, we've painted the boxcar itself at least twice. We did go around the lettering. We've cleaned up and painted up the under chassis. Maybe a few years from now, that might need to be redone. David is very active in seeing if we can't get a better shelter. The shelter that is a cover, all it is a cover supported on poles that's protecting from the basic rain, but not from vandalism and so forth, which has occurred in the past years. We would like to have a interested group try to design a building for that. The structure of itself is in fairly good shape. There's no wood rot or anything like that.
How can we help out? Can the public help out?
We're starting. We're starting pretty much now, and we want to be able to display this boxcar so everybody can see it the way it should be displayed and it's protected. We're looking for an architect or a company to donate their skills needed to design a building to get this project moving, and we're talking about a building that's going to protect it. And I'm not an architect, so I would be guessing if I'm trying to explain to you what we're looking at, but something that's going to be able to protect it from the elements and protect it from, you know, people doing things to it that don't honor,
sure,
you know, things like this. And we're in need of an architect or a company to donate skills needed to design this building and get this project moving. We will be starting a statewide fundraising drive, and we hope that next year, by the 60th annual pilgrimage in 2009, that we'll be able to get into a new building or have this thing displayed. But our goal with this project is help to preserve this boxcar, the symbol of the American soldier enduring horrible conditions to preserve democracy and freedom back in World War I and World War II in cramped, hot, stinky boxcars in harsh conditions that are just as harsh today in Iraq and Afghanistan. The guys out there are doing the same thing. But we want to continue to support and salute our military for their continued sacrifices. And if anybody is wanting more information or is willing to provide professional architectural assistance, please contact me at Texas Merci Boxcar. That's Texas and then MERCI Boxcar at yahoo.com, and I'll respond to them.
Perhaps if there's any old members here that remember when the boxcar came in or any additional data, please contact David at that website.
Well, David Knutson and Charlie Hawkins, I appreciate you being here today and enlightening us on this probably very little-known history to most of us here in Austin that have just driven by that thing for years. And I've often wondered, why is that there? And I was so amazed to find out its vast history. And thank you guys for trying to keep the history and memory alive for everybody to enjoy for years to come.
We're having our memorial service this year on February 17th, Sunday morning at about 9 a.m. at the boxcar. And all the placards will be displayed that morning on February 17th.
Best way to see it right there.
Anybody and everybody's welcome to come out.
We'll get the word out.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Much.
Thanks for coming in.